The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 35, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on March 16th, 2012, in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asangshayam, Mahabaho, Mana, Durnigraham, Shalam, Avyasena, Tu, Kaunteya, Vairagyena, Cha, Grahiyate Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asangshayam Mahabaho Manodini Graham Shalam Abhyasena Tukonteya Vairagyena chagrihyate Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asangshayam Mahabaho Manodurni Graham Chalam Abhyasena Tukoncheya Vairagyena chagrihyate Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The personality of Godhead said, Asangshayam, undoubtedly, Mahabaho, O mighty armed one, Manaha, the mind, Durni Graham, difficult to curb, Shalam, flickering, Abhyasena, by practice, to, but, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Vairagyena, by detachment, also, grihyate, can be so controlled. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole universe. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed Kunti, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind is expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual attachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical, because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to the Lord is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dattaputakamanam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnitam Ritam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Ritam Cha. This process is really amazing. Actually, it's a very amazing thing, you know, Krishna consciousness. You really do get a higher taste. It's not just hype. You really do get a higher taste. If you plug into Krishna, you really connect by following the footsteps of the great acharyas. You enter another dimension. You enter another dimension, actually. You don't live in this material world. You may appear to be here, but you're actually living in the spiritual world. You just got to learn how to connect. That's all. It's like when you plug an appliance into the electrical connection and the connection is proper. Today we run the airplane flying from Texas to Toronto. We plugged our laptop into the electricity. It didn't work. So that's material life, you see. You plug in, you don't get anything out of it. You plug into it. You plug in your whole life to your material duties. Duty, 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 duty. And what do you get? Old age, disease, and death. Kicked out of the body. That's it. And dragged by the dragged to the court of Yamaraj to be punished for all of your sinful activities. But I did my duty. No. Krishna says, give up these duties and just surrender to me. But how will I do my... How can I be a decent person if I only serve Krishna? But that's how you become a decent person, actually. To not serve Krishna, to not give yourself completely to Krishna, that is an indecency. You're being indecent. A decent man, a gentleman, will fully give himself to Krishna. You see, that is decency. And by doing that, he automatically gives the best service to all living entities. When you connect with the Supreme Powerhouse, then in loving service, because everyone is part and parcel of him, when you do that, then you become the best friend, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Just as Krishna describes himself in 529 Bhagavad Gita, as the best friend of every living entity, you also become the best friend of living entity when you fully connect with Krishna. So the art of fully connecting with Krishna, that is called Krishna consciousness. And there's really only one thing we need to learn in life, and that's how to become Krishna conscious. If you learn that, you're covered. Your life is perfect. And if you don't learn it, if you don't master the science of Krishna consciousness, you're simply a nowhere man. No matter how much you become, may become decorated in material society, you're simply nowhere, nowhere. And at the time of death, no one can say where you're going to go. If your friends and your relatives, no one will know, your countrymen, no one will know where you've gone. Some higher authorities in the universe will know where you've gone, but your contemporaries will have no idea where you went, you see. By your karma, you're dragged away, you see. So, if we are actually intelligent, we will take advantage of this process, Krishna consciousness. So wonderfully explained by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada has perfectly described this Krishna consciousness. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita, is it? That's the Sanskrit given by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada has translated that as Krishna consciousness. Very nice slogan. Maybe you know that slogan. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Kutopalabhyate Tattala yang api mulam ekalam janmakoti sukritarina labhyate. It's in the Pajavali 14, by Rupa Goswami. That's verse 14 of the Pajavali. He says that pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lives. It can be achieved by only paying one price. And what is that? Lalyam. The intense greed to obtain it. And then Rupa Goswami continues. He says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So where is it available? This movement. Prabhupada has given this place where it's available, you see. This ISKCON movement is a place where you can get Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Krishna consciousness. It is the greatest thing. There is nothing like it in all the three worlds. Even the demigods are hankering to take birth on this planet so they can join ISKCON. Because I don't think we've opened any branches in the higher planets yet. That I've heard of. I didn't see him listed in BGG. ISKCON, Chandralok, or ISKCON. I haven't seen it listed in the higher planets yet. So the demigods have to come here. They want to show him. So, how does one... Okay, I've come to ISKCON. I want it. How do I get it? That's the next question. I've come to ISKCON. I want pure Krishna Bhakti. How do I get it? Actually, I think Prabhupada gave a hint in this purport. Yeah, here it is. Right in the middle of the purport. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything. That draws the mind away from Krishna. So that is the whole sum and substance of this material existence. The sum and substance of this material existence is an energy that draws your mind away from Krishna. That's it. In a nutshell, that's the whole material world for you. All the way from Brahmaloka down to Patala, up to Brahmaloka, down to Patalaloka. The whole thing is simply a negative energy sucker that draws your mind away from Krishna. That's it. So many things, you see. Eiffel Tower draws your mind away from all these things. Taj Mahal, you see. So many things. All these things that people are attracted to. The Beatles. Of course, George Harrison kind of did a little other thing there. But you know, all this stuff in the material world that people are attracted to. Football, politics, you know, the Grand Niagara Falls. This stuff is simply to draw the mind. It's Maya's arrangement to draw the mind away from Krishna. That's all it is. It's a big, big money, sex, cars, iPhones. All this stuff. It's simply to draw our minds away from Krishna. Energy suckers. So how do you counteract the pull, the magnetic pull of the material energy? By hearing about Krishna from the pure devotees. So who's the pure devotee? Prabhupada. And whoever is preaching his message purely, they are also considered pure devotees. Because they are purely representing Srila Prabhupada. You see. So if we hear from the pure devotees, then we will become pure by that association. Prabhupada said that hearing was his secret of success. He told us how he went to the Vrajmandal Parikrama being conducted by Gaudiyama. So in the evening time, you could go for the lecture, or you know, the nightlife in Braj is darshan. That's their nightlife. So you could go for the lecture, or you could go for the temple darshan, you see, in the evening. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he spoke in very, very erudite English. The materialistic Dhaminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. And that's a very simplified version of the way he would speak. Big, big, big words that even us native English speakers, we have to get out our... We have to look it up on the unabridged dictionary on the internet. We don't have big... Unabridged dictionary. Now it's on the internet. You can look at them. I subscribe to the Unabridged Dictionary on the internet, so you can look up any word you want. As a writer, someone is writing constantly, it's a very handy tool. So we get out that big unabridged. We log into the Unabridged Dictionary on the internet, and it will take us a long time to figure out everything that he's talking about, with great research. And who are these? Mostly his disciples, these simple Bengali boys. They hardly know English at all. So where did they go in the evening? They all went for darshan. They didn't come for the lecture. There was only a small handful, a few sannyasis, and one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Charan Day. And he would sit there dutifully and hear Guru Maharaj speak. He said, I would understand... Or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing, you see. So just like in our ISKCON, when it's time for somebody to be initiated, the authority, temple authority will recommend to the guru, this person is ready for initiation, we recommend him. Same thing in the Gaudiya Mutt. The devotees in Allahabad, they recommend it to Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta. Guru Maharaj, There is one, Bhaicharan Day, we'd like to recommend for Diksha. He said, oh, the others go away, but he hears, yes, I'll initiate him. So if you want to know how to become qualified to advance in Krishna consciousness, then you must be very, very eager to hear when the pure devotees are speaking. When the message is being purely spoken, coming down from the parampara, we should always be very, very eager to hear. Many people ask, how do we raise our kids in Krishna consciousness? Train them to be very eager to hear. That's the key. Hearing is the key. So Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So in this way, if we can hear very nicely about Krishna, you may say, well, how much can you hear about him anyway? I mean, wouldn't it get boring after a while? One politician, he came from Calcutta out to Mayapur, and he was meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He heard that they had a daily newspaper about Krishna consciousness. He said, a daily newspaper about Krishna consciousness? How is that possible? What was the name of that paper? Gaudiya Prakash. Yeah, I think Gaudiya. Something like that. Anyway, he couldn't understand, how is it possible you could have a daily newspaper about God? I mean, what can you say about God? I mean, well, there's not really much to say about God. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that there's a huge, vast spiritual sky with unlimited planets. And in a tiny corner of that unlimited spiritual sky, there's a material world with unlimited universes. Each universe has unlimited planets. On each planet, there's so many countries. In each country, there's so many cities. And each city has so many newspapers and many. And even in one city, there's so many editions of a particular newspaper. You see? So not just in one little tiny speck of the total creation. This is what he explained to the politician. He said, actually, we can produce a newspaper at every second. But the problem is, there are no customers. You see? So, if you want to hear about Krishna, there's no limit. Not that, well, I've heard this, that, so now there's nothing else to hear. No. You can hear about Krishna forever. Just like, actually, if it wasn't for the physical limitations, we could speak about Krishna forever. It's like now I'm giving a lecture about Krishna consciousness. It's not that I am any kind of speaker or anything like that, but Krishna is so unlimited that if we just start talking about Krishna and all these different aspects, the way to appreciate him in this way, to serve him in that way, to love him in this way, to remember him in this way, his qualities, his characteristics, his entourage, his paraphernalia, his flute, his peacock feather, his dhoti, his cows, his calves, his girlfriends, his boyfriends, his mother and father, the river he sports, his so many different pastimes in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, Mathura, the Vanshore Leela, there's just no limit, really. And what we have in the scriptures is a little tiny fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the unlimited, the Ananta Leelas of Krishna. There's unlimited pastimes of Krishna happening at every minute. And the beauty of this process is that the more you hear about Krishna, the more you realize Krishna. You think Krishna is simply some literary figure? No, Krishna is real. He exists right now. He has his abode and he's also all, he's everywhere. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. He's right here, present with us right now in the deity or the photograph. He's present even without the photographs and the deities. He's present. And That's why the pure devotees, when they become completely sanctified by purifying their consciousness, premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achyanyu ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That's why they can perceive Shama Sundra within their hearts, a threefold bending form, because he's already there. We just have to purify our vision, our consciousness, free ourselves from the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, and envy by hearing about Krishna. In the kirtan, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar Devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the Nectar of Instruction, all of Prabhupada's books. There's so much in these books that we haven't even learned yet. We're just scratching the surface, just in what's in Prabhupada's books alone. We're scratching the surface. Even one book, the Nectar of Devotion. Just take that one book. There's so much in there. So much wealth of knowledge about Krishna. So we should constantly be reading, hearing, discussing about Krishna as much as possible, 24 hours a day, with our friends, our family members, the devotees, everywhere. And then we should be sharing Krishna to the world. Only Krishna can solve the problems of the world. These politicians are simply making things worse and worse and worse. They make big, big promises to get into office, and they don't fulfill them. It's just hype. That's all. They hype their way into office. People are cheated. Politician means cheater. They're cheated again and again and again by these lying politicians. Practically every politician is a liar and a cheater. And they're the leaders. So the whole world is suffering because of this. What we need is Krishna consciousness. If we can make the world Krishna conscious, all the problems will be solved immediately. Because everyone is actually Krishna's beloved child. They have simply forgotten who is their original father. They're vagabonds. They've gotten somehow separated from the home. They're wandering in this material existence, trying to find happiness and never finding it. So if we can ourselves become Krishna conscious and share this knowledge with everyone, then the whole world will become peaceful and happy. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
It was mentioned that there's no amount of pious activity that can lead to devotional service.
Yeah.
So how do we understand the statement in Bhagavatam that the cowherd boys got the opportunity to be cowherd boys by heaps and heaps of pious activities?
Yes, that's an interesting question because it appears contradictory, doesn't it? They're pious, but actually it wasn't contradiction. Their pious activities were transcendental pious activities, devotional service. There's a difference between spiritual piety, pure bhakti piety, and mundane piety. That's the distinction, you see. Devotional service is the supreme piety, but it's transcendental piety. Transcendental piety will give you qualified to become an associate of God. Mundane piety will not. Doing good, you know, digging wells for the villages and building hospitals for the poor. And somebody, some wealthy man, he built hospitals for the poor to. And now in his next life, he gets to be rewarded. You know what his reward was? He got to come back and get free medical care from all those people that he gave free medical care to. Wow, what a great reward. I get free medical care now from all those people that I gave free medical care to. That means I have to get sick to get the care. To qualify for the free medical care, I have to get sick. So mundane piety is it binds you to the material world. But spiritual transcendental piety and devotional service liberates you and qualifies you to become a servant and an intimate personal associate of the Supreme Lord. So that's that the cowboys were not doing mundane piety. I guarantee you, it was transcendental piety. Any other questions?
So sometimes people, it's easy to see the results of mundane piety,
mm-hmm.
but it is very difficult sometimes to see the results of transcendental piety.
Mm-hmm.
How can one reassure someone who is experiencing difficulty that, hey, I'm not seeing much here. What's going on? I'm not seeing much result from this transcendental piety. Whereas mundane piety, it's very easy. I can see people are being helped right away.
Mm-hmm. Like that one news reporter, he asked Prabhupada a similar question, and it's a famous interview. It was very, very nice. And it was a tape. It was recorded. You can hear it actually in the airport. I think it was some public place. The reporter was there, and he was asking, and all the devotees were there. He said, "Swamiji, what are you doing to benefit the society besides giving, inviting people for your dinner at the temple? What are you doing? You're just playing some drums on the streets. What are you doing for the welfare of the society?" He was asking like that. And Prabhupada said, "Do you know what is the real welfare of the society?" Prabhupada challenged him like that. You see? Because people have a very mundane vision of what's actually beneficial. Completely mundane. They don't understand. It's completely on the... Their conception of piety is completely on the mundane platform of the body. They think if you serve somebody's body, then you've done the ultimate good. But they don't realize, they don't see that body is a temporary covering. If a man is dying on the street, he's been seriously injured by a car and he's dying, and you notice that his shirt got ripped, and you go over and take a needle and thread and you're sewing up his shirt, well, you let him die. Are you doing in some... What is the nature of your welfare work? The man's dying on the street and you're sewing his shirt with a needle and thread. You see? So mundane piety, taking a needle and thread, you're sewing the man's shirt. And everybody, and the people who think that he's the body, they all applaud you. Oh, what a great soul you are. You're going to sew that shirt. You're going to sew that torn shirt. For those who have transcendental vision, they see the shirt is not that important. I mean, it's okay, you know, but there's nothing wrong with sewing somebody's shirt. But the first thing is save the man from dying. That's the first business. That's your first business. But in an enlightened society, they're not going to give you an award for letting a man die while you sew his shirt. They say, "You're crazy. You're letting a man die, you're going and sewing his torn shirt? What kind of fool are you?" You see? So this mundane welfare is they're simply suffering. It's a fact. The people's bodies are in a bad shape. Disease, starvation, etc. But if you neglect the actual soul within, then you're just... sewing the shirt, you're not feeding, not saving the person. So they have to see the spiritual reality. That's why Prabhupada, the first thing to teach them is they are not the body. The first thing. As long as one is connected with the bodily conception of life, they'll always be blind. They'll never be able to see things properly. The bodily conception of life makes one blind. You can't see things as they are. As long as you identify the self as being the body, you cannot. It's not possible. So first, they must have transcendental vision of the spiritual existence of the self beyond the material body. Otherwise, you'll never be able to convince them of anything that makes real sense in the ultimate issue. We have to first train people that are not the body. It's the first thing. You don't do that, they'll never get it. They'll never understand what is Krishna consciousness. They'll never understand what is real welfare. Any other question? Yes.
It's not much related to this lecture, but I don't know. Why Arjuna is the dearest to God? What makes things, what are the qualities of Arjuna? Because I read Mahabharata, I followed a little bit. I see like Arjuna got this weapon, that weapon, he was very good in studies, but I never, like, there is nowhere it is mentioned that Arjuna was chanting, he has pure love in his heart, that, because we can...
He's saying why Arjuna was dear to Krishna. He was not chanting, or he was not remembering, he had good knowledge of weapons and everything.
No, Arjuna was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He was always remembering Krishna. Krishna orders in the Bhagavad Gita, you should always think of me. And Arjuna surrendered fully to them. Arjuna, taking Krishna in his heart, fully absorbing himself in thoughts of Krishna, he took those weapons and he fought for Krishna, even though he didn't want to on his own. On his own, he wanted to leave the battlefield, forget it. But he fully absorbed himself in Krishna consciousness and fought that battle in pure Krishna consciousness.
After he got the knowledge of Gita.
That's right, after he heard the Bhagavad Gita. Before that, he was bewildered. Actually, it's a show. He's an eternal associate of Krishna. But that's a pastime for him. So the Bhagavad Gita can be spoken for your benefit. And our benefit, you see, because we are in a state of illusion, like Arjuna was. He showed our condition of consciousness in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, bodily plane. He demonstrated our position so Krishna could speak the words that we needed to hear. Arjuna didn't need to hear them. He's an eternally liberated soul, eternal associate of Krishna, but he acted as someone like us, completely on the bodily plane, so Krishna could give the knowledge that we needed to hear. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Sort of? Fully or partially? What's the rest that's not answered?
No, I'm just still in doubt about the...
Chanting.
I'm not arguing, but just my objective of this question is why, like, what should I do to... get myself near to Krishna. That's the objective.
How will you become dear to Krishna?
Yes, that's my objective. So what Arjuna did so special in his life...
To become dear to Krishna?
Yeah.
How can you become a dear associate of Krishna?
Pandavas were all good persons. The Bhishma Pitama, he is also a good person. But why Krishna chose Arjuna only? Yudhishthira was the Dharmaraj.
They were all, actually, all the Pandavas are most dear to Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with every devotee according to their loving relationship with him. Krishna will, there's many different types of relationships with Krishna. There's actually 12 rasas, 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. Krishna will reciprocate with you in any of those 12 rasas according to your according to your own loving relationship with Krishna, he will reciprocate with you. Krishna actually doesn't play any favorites. From Krishna's perspective, everyone is the most dear devotee. Every devotee is the most dear. And he reciprocates with each devotee according to that devotee's particular mood of serving the Lord. Everyone is treated by Krishna as the most dear of all of his devotees. See, in the mature world, we can't do that, you see. But Krishna can do that. He can treat each and every one of his devotees as if they are the most dear devotee, and he does them. It's like the queens of Dwarka. They all got special treatment. You know that? Krishna had 16,108 queens. And which queen did he go to every night after he left the court? Every queen got her own Krishna. And every queen was thinking, I'm the only one who's getting Krishna. Those poor other queens. Somehow or other, I'm the favorite queen. Every queen felt she was the favorite queen. And she was. She was. So Krishna can do that with every one of his devotees. You can be his favorite devotee in all the whole existence. And actually you are. But you just have to come back to that position. Everyone is actually Krishna's favorite. Everyone is. Krishna can, he has the power to reciprocate unlimitedly in that way with each and every jiva, as if they're the most favorite of all the devotees. Described that way in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that BBT has published. How every cowherd boy feels that he's the favorite cowherd boy. He's the most special of all Krishna's devotees. Krishna reciprocates with him in that way. They treat every one of them, he's the most special of all the devotees. But the gopis have an opposite feeling, that their feeling is I'm totally unqualified. They have a different rasa, the gopis have a different rasa. Coward boys have this sort of a pride, transcendental pride, that I'm Krishna's favorite. The gopis have a very, very more humble attitude. Described, interesting, by Sanatana Goswami describing. Any other question?
Maharaj, we're very fortunate to have Prabhupada around us and his books, being able to worship him and disciples like yourself. Would you be, seeing that you're here, would you be able to share with us maybe some of your reflections or encounters with Prabhupada, just so we can...
I wanted to share you to share the encounters with Srila Prabhupada.
That's one of my pastimes with Prabhupada. Yeah. Actually, having Prabhupada's pastimes are not static, they are dynamic, they are ecstatic. They didn't end when Prabhupada left this world. So Prabhupada's pastimes are going on right now, actually. Prabhupada is still acting on this planet in the form of this movement through his empowered agents. So actually we can be associated with Prabhupada right now. It's just a matter of connecting with him. So in terms of my sweetest experiences with Prabhupada, it's actually, even after he left, they're getting sweeter. I had some very nice exchanges with him, of course, when he was here, but it's even better now. I'll tell you the truth. 41 years of serving Prabhupada's mission, I'm feeling closer and getting more nectar from Prabhupada even when he was here. Because the vani is more important than vipa. In terms of vani, the vapu association, I can give a little bit. I was a young bhakta, uninitiated, wild brahmachari from Texas, who came out to the Ratha Yatra with Vishnu Janaswami and a few other devotees. And Prabhupada would come back from the morning walk in the car. They would drive into the beach, and he would then come back. They would drive him back to the temple at 3764 Watsika Avenue. And he would get out of the car, and it was a very nice arrangement. The authorities, temple leaders made, the devotees got to line up down the sidewalk. And as he was coming out he would get out of the car, and he walked on the sidewalk back around the side of the building to the back where his quarters were. So he was walking down a whole row of devotees, and we would all line up, and we probably be given a basket of flowers, and each one of us would have a flower. So everybody get to have their own private exchange with Prabhupada. You would give Prabhupada a flower, and he would give you one back, and he would go each devotee one at a time. He would do it with every single devotee. It was so sweet. So I was there, but Vishnu Janaswami was the first in the line, and I was standing right next to him. He got a hug. He got more than a flower. He got a hug. And being one of his men, I felt like I felt really good. I felt like I was being hugged too, because I was one of his men. That's how it was a non-envious mood, you see. When I saw him getting hugged, I think, why am I not getting? No, I thought, now I'm getting hugged too, because I felt I was getting hugged too, because I was one of Vishnujana's men. So then Prabhupada came and gave me my flower, and I gave him a flower, he gave me one. And he's going down the line, devotee after devotee after devotee. And then, so I just, now to be there actually with Prabhupada was an amazing thing, because here was a person, an Uttama Adhikari who descended from the spiritual world, seeing Prabhupada was just as powerful and potent as seeing Krishna himself, actually. It was just as powerful and potent, spiritually powerful as seeing Krishna himself. I mean, it was very powerful. So, and to see him, I describe it like this, drinking him into your heart through your eyes. That's what seeing Prabhupada is like, I'm going to drink him. It was like, I didn't say that, but it was an experience like drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So I stood on the steps as he was walking by, going back to his quarters, just stood up there on the steps so I could have a nice, another darshan. You just want to take, you do want to have as much darshan as you can possibly get. The more you get, the more you want it. I mean, it's like you never get tired of it. So I was standing on the steps to take his darshan as he came by. And Prabhupada was so kind, he was so considerate. I was a nobody from Texas. And he noticed that I was not in the line with the other devotees. He'd forgotten that I was the second or third one to get a flower. All he knows, well, here's one that's not standing in the line. So he held up a flower to make sure it was body language. Did you get a flower yet? He didn't say it. It was the expression on his face. And he held the flower up to make sure I had gotten a flower, you see. He was so kind and considerate. He wanted that every single devotee would get the mercy. And that's what it was like when Prabhupada was here. Everybody felt Prabhupada loves me more than anybody in my whole life has ever loved me. Prabhupada loves me. Everyone felt that. And that's how the movement came together. Because we felt Prabhupada loved us more than anybody in millions of lifetimes had ever loved us before. You see? So I could have lied and said, no, I didn't, and get another flower, right? But I would never dream of such a thing, to lie to my spiritual master. I never dream of it. I held up my flower and smiled and shook my head and like that. I held it up. Yes, see, Prabhupada, I got my flower here. I didn't say it. It was just all body. It was silent body language between me and Prabhupada. I just held up and showed the flower I had gotten. And he went on. But that was a very, very powerful moment for me, you see. That Prabhupada singled me out from the crowd, maybe 300, hundreds of devotees there at the time. I don't know how many were there that morning for the ceremony, but Prabhupada singled me out from the crowd. And he would do that with insignificant devotees who weren't like leaders or big collectors. It didn't matter who you were. Prabhupada would single you. Sometimes you get singled out and he would give you special mercy. So that really, that gave me that was before I got initiated. But that really gave me a vision of who is Srila Prabhupada. What is his qualities? Is it? Here's a person who can give love like no one has ever been given love, in this world. Of course, a few, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod, but in this world, who can give love like Prabhupada has given? You see. And he even made it more accessible than the previous acharyas. They just preached in India. Prabhupada is able to make it accessible to the entire world. So that's just one. There's thousands and millions of stories of Prabhupada, people having experiences with Prabhupada. Everything he did, he created powerful experiences for thousands of people. Every moment, he was creating powerful spiritual experiences to enrich the spiritual lives of thousands of people. At every moment, with every gesture, with every turn of the head, everything he did, it was absolutely amazing. Person. Therefore, the Shastra says, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Unless one has the Shakti of Krishna, he cannot spread this movement all over the world. So Prabhupada, he was fully empowered by Krishna. He's called Saktavesh Avatar. He's empowered by Krishna for initiating the whole universe with Krishna Prema. And we're the fortunate souls who get to serve him, you see. It's like those monkeys, you know? Those celebrated monkeys of Lord Ram. Yeah. You know those monkeys? Lord Ram's monkeys? Jija, you know Lord Ram's monkeys? And in the Ramayana, those monkeys? Is there Lord Ram? You know about the, yes. Those celebrated monkeys of Lord Ram, you see. What they can do, fighting with a huge Rakshasa army, they're just throwing some rocks and some sticks. But because they were empowered by Lord Ram, they defeated the powerful Rakshasas. You see? So we're just like Prabhupada's monkeys, you know? What qualifications do we have? We're just Prabhupada's monkeys. But by Prabhupada's potency, you see? Prabhupada can act through us and he can deliver the whole universe. Some people say, oh, come on, and, you know, stop dreaming. But I'm not dreaming. Krishna Das Kaviraj. It's Krishna Das Kaviraj. He says, Sajjana Durjana Pangu Jadda Anagana Prema Vanyaya Dubaila Jagatara Jana. This Krishna Consciousness movement is a Prema tsunami, and it'll sweep the whole universe and inundate everyone, drown everyone with pure love of God, whether they are pious, impious, blind, lame, or jadda, the dumb, like jadbara, invalid, everyone will become drowned. So anyway, our time has run out because I have a busy day tomorrow. We're doing a pure bhakti seminar tomorrow. I have a morning program and so many things to do. So we can't stay up all night tonight. Of course, if we were highly advanced, you know, in the Pariksha Maharaj, we could do that. Just do 7 days straight. No sleeping and eating. Not even going to the bathroom. Just sit and hear. But that's a very high level thing. So we have these material bodies. We need to take some rest. So we have another big day of preaching tomorrow. But I'm so happy to see you all have come here, to see you have an ISKCON here in Brampton. Kindly expand it more and more. You see, that we want to make it so attractive, you see, that the whole world, these other temples and places of worship, they don't have the science of bhakti. They have some sentiment, but they don't have this science. So please try to make this more successful. We have to become, establish this as the leading educational institution on this planet, that everyone will come here to learn who they are, who is the Supreme, and how they can perfect their relationship with the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.